Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show, the Awaken to Happiness Now Global Series. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And my good friend Patrick Prochaska is here with us. And I'm so excited because it's always so much fun having Patrick with us. The processes are always so amazing, high vibe, and so much wonderful information as well. So I know even today we're going to have some transformations on this call and some transformational experiences and a lot of clearing. And I would say clearing and upgrading. So that's what I am intending on, clearing and upgrading. And for those of you who don't know Patrick, you know, he, like I said, he's been on our show many, many times, a regular guest, a good friend, and I'm so happy he's here again with us. I've also trained with Patrick in his Lightbridge certification program. And so, or maybe it was called Thrive Energetics at the time. But still. And so before founding Lightbridge Academy, Patrick struggled for decades as a hospitality manager until life-threatening stress and frustration forced him to abandon that lucrative career and embrace his calling as an empowerment coach and healer. And Patrick blends law of attraction coaching principles with belief sculpting and energetic activations for healing and personal growth. And with a bachelor's degree in history of science and a master's degree in the religions of ancient India, Patrick uses higher dimensional empowerment tools from a foundation based in science. He studied massage therapy, aromatherapy, Reiki, law of attraction, life coaching, various schools of yoga, theta healing, and other healing systems, and has developed his own unique system of energetic attunements called Lightbridge. And I know most of you, or some of you, have already experienced the work that Patrick does either on this show or on his many, many sessions that he performs with all of you, personal one-on-one, as well as the group healings that he does on a regular basis. Because I know, Patrick, I was looking at, you know, I always see your posts on Facebook and in my email, and I see how much you're serving your community, and I just love that. And so today, again, you're being of service to us, and we're going to be talking about Lightbridge Wealth Harmonics. And so this is a topic that I don't think we've actually talked about before, so I'm excited. So welcome, welcome, welcome back. I'm always so happy to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you. It's I've tried to do a count. I think this is either the sixth or the seventh time I've been on your show, and it's always it's always the highlight of my year. It's amazing. And, you know, I don't know if everyone here knows it, but once upon a time, I actually traveled to Vienna, where Alara is, and did the show with her there. And that was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had. So Alara and I have this really beautiful connection that I'm sure goes back many lifetimes.
I think so. And as I was even reading your bio, I'm like, yeah, like we are so connected. Like, every time you're on the show with, you know, there were always in sync, we're always connected. Whatever's happening with you is happening with me. And I was like, interesting. In a good way, you know, because let's face it, we are on the same page. We are working, you know, with our communities, serving our communities, and supporting our communities at the same time, right? So it's so good to be with a colleague who, you know, is constantly out there. And you're always out there. You're always serving. And I know that your clients and the listeners of this show have always had, you know, wonderful praise and wonderful comments about you. They just absolutely adore you and the work that you do.
Thank you so much. I'm not sure how to respond to that, but it fills me with joy to be connecting with so many different people from all around the world. And I can't imagine doing anything else right now. So,
and he truly is easy on the eyes. I love your new hairstyle too, by the way.
Yeah, I can let it down later. It's getting longer. I actually got a cut yesterday and they trimmed off about an inch, but
yeah, I love it. All right. So we're talking about wealth harmonics and what does that mean? And so basically, you know, I'm going to let Patrick start talking about it, but you know, this is for all of us, because we are, you know, in different degrees of abundance, right? We'll say, and you know, our flows of cash, our flows of wealth, our flows of abundance are flowing in different levels, we'll say, right? So
yes.
So this is really for everybody. This type of call is for everybody, because we are all working with the instrument of money, of wealth. It's in our society, right? And this is how we are, it's a tool, don't get me wrong, it's just a tool, and it's an exchange of energy. And that's what we have to realize and really remember over and over again. It's a tool. It's not the end all be all, right?
Yes, and some of you might be a little bit surprised as I speak, because I'm not going to focus explicitly on prosperity or on wealth or money management or anything like that. One of my foundational beliefs, one of the things that I've discovered, is that the way you relate to money is actually highly representative of how you navigate the three-dimensional world. If you live your life in a state of alignment with the world that you're trying to navigate, then things tend to come to you more easily and effortlessly than they do for other people. But if you have deep-seated belief systems that you may have picked up in any arena of your life at all that tells you that you're unworthy of having in general, or that you need to earn everything in order to receive, or that it's wrong for you to receive, or dangerous because if you receive, it means that you're indebted to other people. There are all sorts of energetic orientations that we adopt as we learn to navigate the three-dimensional world that has a profound impact on how you relate to money. And how you relate to money tends to infect or infest every other dimension of your life, for good or for bad. And then it's also true that sometimes people will have the symptoms of whatever's wrong in their life emerge within their financial arena, but it might at its root not be a financial problem. So a really common example is if you are of an energetic orientation that romance is scary for you, and you have been abandoned, you've been humiliated, you've been rejected, love is painful for you. If you're in that situation and you simply can't bring yourself to enter into a relationship, one of the easiest ways to avoid romance is to have financial problems. Because if you have financial problems, you can't really afford to do the things that you would want to do to build a relationship with somebody. So the blockage looks like it's something that's financial, but it's actually in a completely different arena of your life. So the work that I want to do with everyone today is about coming into alignment with what your true desires are, and kind of shifting your energy to one of receptivity so you can navigate the world, noticing all the opportunities to have what you would desire in your life. And you'll receive flow in every dimension of your life when you mm-hmm. do that. When you begin to harmonize yourself in your current egoic persona with your higher self, or with the universe, or with source, or with God, or however you like to conceive it, then you begin to step into flow. And flow isn't just related to money. Flow is related to everything. Anything and everything that you focus on begins to flow even more. And one of the caveats that I would recommend for people is, as you are becoming like deeper invested with your power, your thoughts tend to have a lot more power than they had before. So one of the things I often tell people is, you know, abundance is a really good thing, but you need to be aware of what type of abundance you're asking for, because you can have an abundance of debt as well as an abundance of prosperity. So if you're focusing on digging yourself out of the hole and how painful it is to not be able to do the things that you want to do, and every month it feels like a struggle and you have to crawl past the finish line to get rent paid, then if you're focusing on all of that, you're creating the energy of more abundant debt in your life. So wow, I just kind of exploded with 1,000 things at once. We're gonna have to kind of narrow this in and focus it in a little bit. So.
No, I love that. And you know, I was just, you know, a couple of hours ago I was thinking about what was it? Being in alignment with your desires, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in alignment with your desires, truly, honestly, then you have a bit more clarity on where you'd like to go and how you'd like to proceed and how you'd like to move forward. And then you are more open to receiving because you're in alignment instead of being incongruent, right?
Yes. So being in alignment with your desires, I'm going to add a word to that. And it's a word that a lot of people use, but they're quite often not quite sure what it means. Mm-hmm. And that is being in alignment with your heart's desire. That is being in alignment with the authentic desires that you have at your core. Mm-hmm. Most of us are out of touch with what our authentic desires are, because most of us have absorbed all of the phony limitations and the expectations and so forth that our parents gave us and authority figures gave us and public figures that we like, you know, J-Lo and so forth. We try to model ourselves and model our experience in the world on what we witness in other people. Mm-hmm. So quite often we absorb desires that are not really authentically ours. And we absorb desires at like a surface level as well. Sometimes you might think, for example, I really, really want to have this specific type of car. But even though that feels like what the desire is, the question of why do you want that car is really important, because it could be that the reason you want that car is so that you can impress somebody that you have a crush on. And there may be other ways to accomplish that goal, right, other than the car. So,
yeah, it's really important to ask that question. Why? Why do you want that? Why is that important to you? And what are you going to get out of it? Or what you know, like, what are you trying to get out of it? Right.
Yeah.
I know, like energy of that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. And what a lot of people find is that the desires that they think they have are actually borrowed from other people. Mm-hmm. So we desire to do things, or we desire to accomplish things in order to impress other people, because it's something that they would desire to have for themselves, or that they would desire to see in us. So we embrace the desire.
Belong, right?
Yeah. What's that?
To fit in and belong.
To fit in and belong, I usually phrase it as to please and appease other people, mm-hmm. because it's both sides of that equation. You want to make other people like and accept you, but you also want to avoid them rejecting you or getting angry with you. And when you're in both modes simultaneously, where you're trying to please other people and at the same time walk on eggshells around them so as not to cause them to reject you or dislike you, then you really narrow what your possibilities are for yourself in your life. Mm-hmm. And it can take a lot of time to step out of that. It can take a lot of time to really declare to the world, this is who I am and this is what I desire for my life, because we've tested the water so many times in the past, and we've noticed that we lose friends, people resist us, people say they lose respect in us, people unfriend us on Facebook or put a nasty comment in. There are all sorts of ways that we use to police other people to prevent them from stepping into their true desires. And it'd be, you know, your true power comes from overcoming the fear of the consequences of you living life on your terms.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as you're speaking, I'm just thinking back on my life and all the things that I've done in the past, you know, 10 years or so. And it's like, I've been on the edge and constantly pushing the limits, doing so many different things that, you know, some people like, some people didn't like, but I, you know, still doing that. And so it was just interesting how today I was thinking about all of these kinds of things. It's like, who have I lost in the process, right? Who is no longer with me? And who have I offended? Who have I insulted by just being me, or finding out the who the real, true, authentic me is, right? And expressing that.
Yeah. Now, and you probably found that both in your personal life and in your professional life. Mm-hmm. And in your professional life, this is fairly universal, we often have our fears magnified when there are dollar signs attached. Right. So when there's the possibility of losing clients, or losing business, it becomes a lot more scary for us to really expose who we really are to the world. And therefore, we kind of shut ourselves down, or we have a collection of different masks mm-hmm. that we wear for different occasions. So I'll put on my business mask, and I'll make sure I don't say anything to offend potential clients, and hide myself in the process. And then when I'm out with friends, I'll put on a different mask. Right. But the fact of the matter is, in either case, I'm wearing a mask. And that mask is hiding, it not only hides your true authentic self, it is like a filter that blocks your power. So whenever you're wearing a mask in order to please and appease other people, you're also filtering and shielding yourself so that your internal power cannot be expressed in the world. So for me, one of the ways to truly empower yourself is to strip off those masks. And it also requires, just I'll throw this out as an aside without going into it, but it doesn't really make sense to strip off your masks if you're not willing to also strip off your goggles, because we all wear goggles where we, you know, we see the world from a specific perspective, and we refuse to see people for who they really are. We see people as we expect to see them or as we want to see them. And if you really want to liberate yourself internally, you have to be willing to strip off both the masks and take off the goggles.
Absolutely. Yeah. And be really willing to see everything, mm-hmm. including yourself and everybody else around you, really see them for who they are, right?
Yeah,
who they be. Absolutely.
Well, who they are. And, but, you know, the funny thing about that is the vast majority of the people around you are also hiding behind masks. Mm-hmm. And just imagine how difficult it is to navigate the world when you're wearing a mask that is meant to project to somebody else who you think they want you to be, but they're also wearing a mask, so who you think they want you to be is already skewed.
Right.
So it's no wonder that it's really difficult to achieve intimacy and to be vulnerable with other people, to simply allow somebody into your life and actually trust them to see the real you. It's a lot of energy that you expend navigating those waters. And just imagine what you could accomplish in your life if you could free up that energy to do other things.
Beautiful. Absolutely. And, you know, and that's the thing. Are you willing to look at that? And are you willing to free up that energy? So, and are you willing to be you? Are you willing to be you in all your power and all your glory and all your radiance?
Yeah. So to get to the topic of money, every single one of us is carrying limiting belief systems about money that we picked up from authority figures, especially our parents. Mm-hmm. And the limiting belief systems that I have might overlap with yours, but they also might be completely different. So for me personally, me specifically, I grew up in an environment where my parents were very suspicious of anybody who had money. And my mom would say over and over and over again that, that, you know, she'd point to somebody who was wealthy and say, that person, they're hiding something. They couldn't have gotten that money without criminal activity. You know that they can't be trusted. So those belief systems kind of soak into me. And as I was growing up, it felt dangerous to actually live in surplus, because living in surplus in my mind meant that I was going to be accused of criminal activity and that people wouldn't trust me. So it translated eventually into whenever I would receive money, whenever somebody would pay me for a service, I'd feel guilty. I'd feel like I cheated them in some way, and that they were going to discover just how much I had cheated them, and then I'd end up in jail or something, because wealthy people are criminals. So I had to like clear away, strip out all those belief systems and replace it with the knowledge that wealthy people live in flow. And wouldn't it be wonderful to have that as well?
Yes.
There are all sorts of other belief systems I picked up as well. One that's really common, and in fact, almost universal, is the belief system that we live in a world of limited resources. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact of the matter is there is enough for everybody in this world. There's enough wealth, there's enough food, there's enough everything. It's just a matter of the distribution of those resources. But quite often, what we assume is that if somebody else has more, that means there's less left over for me.
Right.
And the flip side of that, which a lot of us as spiritual seekers have, a lot of us who really want to do good in the world, the flip side of that is the belief that if I have more, then I'm depriving other people mm-hmm. of what they could have as well. So we feel guilty accepting money, or we feel guilty having money beyond a certain threshold. We create these ceilings for ourselves. And for most of us, the ceiling is $0 in debt. So we live our lives constantly in a state of debt, constantly trying to pay off the debt, but we never break through into surplus because of that belief system. Oh my God, if I have surplus, it means I'm depriving somebody else. Now, we never logically think about those beliefs. You know, you don't stop and say, okay, no, I don't want money because I'm depriving somebody I've never met. It all functions on a subconscious level in the background. It's like these belief systems whisper in our ear and convince us to not step into our power because our power inconveniences other people. These belief systems whisper in our ear that if you step into your power, there will be negative consequences. Other people will resent you. You'll lose your friends and family. You'll no longer know who your true friends are. Mm-hmm. Your parents will resent you because you have more than they do. It's somehow inherently wrong for you to do better than your parents did. So we have all
is
this.
Is that a belief? Really? Is that a belief?
Yeah. Oh, that's a really common one.
Really?
It's a really common one, yes. That it's not that it's sinful or inherently wrong to do better than them, that somehow it dishonors them to have something that they didn't enjoy.
Wow, so, I definitely don't have that one.
Yeah, well, a lot of people do.
And
but that's in a category of all sorts of beliefs where if you have something that your parents didn't have, you're somehow dishonoring your family history, your family heritage, or even your cultural heritage. Mm-hmm. So for example, if your parents both had diabetes and you don't get diabetes in this lifetime, you may like subconsciously be compelled to follow in their footsteps because mm-hmm. somehow it feels wrong for them to suffer something that you didn't experience yourself. And that's another way of doing better than your parents did. So we have all of these different beliefs in the background that kind of keep us locked into patterns of pain and suffering. And one of the most common patterns of pain and suffering is living in lack. Mm-hmm.
I know for myself and in my family, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. And my mom worked really hard. My dad mm-hmm. didn't, but he, for some reason, nothing ever worked out for him. Right. So I have that belief mm-hmm. going on. But my mom worked really, really hard. And so I'm used to working really, really hard. Like I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning last night and the night before working, trying to figure stuff. Like I have that mentality of, you know, working hard. So I have that working hard mm-hmm. ethic, right?
That work ethic, isn't that? here's the thing about that. And that's a really common belief system as well that can be limiting, but it can also be very enjoyable. If you love your work, mm-hmm. if you really love getting in there and like creating the web pages and doing the audio editing and all of that, then that work doesn't really feel like work.
Right.
But so many of us have been infused with what they used to call it the, I can't remember, the Protestant work ethic, mm-hmm. That belief system that work must be difficult to be meaningful.
Right.
That if work feels like fun, then it's not really work. And that any money that you earn through something that's not hard work is not as valuable as money. It's like it's somehow shameful to have money that you got easily. Mm-hmm. So money must be earned. any money that you receive that you didn't earn tends to evaporate instantly. You'll receive a windfall, maybe $1,000 or 1,000 euros will come your way unexpectedly, and then poof, your car breaks down. A hidden expense just pops up immediately right. to wipe it out. And part of that is because of the machinery that's going on in the subconscious mind that's telling you that that money that you received, you didn't really earn it, therefore you really shouldn't have it, therefore let's create a way to get rid of it quickly. Yeah. And then the expense emerges. And
so then, I'm just going to ask everybody really quickly, yeah. you know, some of these beliefs that we're talking about, how many of those do you have? And are any others coming up for you that you're like, oh yeah, I have that. Oh yeah, I have that. Or, you know, I think I have this one. Just type it in the chat just so that we can, because I know Caroline, when Patrick was just talking about this one, it's like, oh yeah, I thought of Caroline because I remember at some point that was kept happening to you. You get money and then automatically everything would break down. I remember that. But yeah.
Once upon a time, I tried to make a list of all the different limiting beliefs, and it was thousands of beliefs. It just went on and on and on and on and on. And eventually I completed the list, but I gave up because it was just too much.
Yeah. It's just interesting to know that there are so many that we're not conscious of, right? A lot of times. Because they're working in the background.
The thing is that the vast majority of these beliefs you're not conscious of. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's really, really common to consciously believe something completely different than what you feel at a subconscious level. So you might consciously realize that you are worthy of financial success. And you might declare that to the world, but still have those subconscious belief systems that say that you're not really worthy of it. Mm-hmm. And whenever your subconscious mind is in conflict with your cognitive mind, your subconscious always wins.
Yeah.
Always.
So, yeah. That is true. So even if you think you don't have any of those beliefs, Julie, consciously you may not, but subconsciously you may. And I'm not saying this to stick any of you with any of these beliefs. It's just interesting what might come up right now for all of you, okay? Mm-hmm. Shame. Yeah, that's a big one.
What did Shane write?
Melissa wrote about shame and never having money and too difficult to receive even as a gift. It wasn't earned with work, hard work, and it's all, for her, it's been all about shame. Right?
Shame energy. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about shame energy in general. And the reason I want to focus on that is because there are a lot of energy healers and New Age thinkers who will tell you that shame is absolutely bad in all contexts. And for me, my belief system is that when you come into alignment with all of your emotions, including the negative emotions, you recognize that every single emotion, no matter what it is, has a message for you and it's nudging you in a specific direction. So every single emotion you feel is inherently good in the sense that it has a message for you. And if you can hear the message, then you can react. The problem that most of us have is that we get stuck in those emotions and then they mushroom into something much bigger than they really are. So shame energy, the basic raw feeling of shame is a message that you need to check yourself because you're stepping on somebody else's boundaries. So at the most basic level, shame is designed to prevent you from trampling other people's privacy, trampling other people's rights, and so forth. Now, the problem in our society is that shame is very often weaponized. It's used as a tool of control. It's used to tell people what they can and cannot do. It's used in such a way that people don't just notice the feeling of shame and say, hey, I need to check myself here and maybe apologize to somebody for stepping on their boundaries. We get boiled in shame, basically. Sure. We drown in shame, and then we soak it in, and we live life from a position of shame. Some of us do. And when you're ashamed of ever having a need at all, then it's really difficult for you to ever ask for help. And even if you do ask for help, it's really hard to receive help if somebody offers it. So shame, when you get stuck in it, really shuts things down. Anger is a good emotion because anger causes you to take action. Anger allows you to stand up for yourself. If you lived your life completely free of anger, then people would walk all over you. However, some of us get stuck in anger and it boils into rage or grudge energy or the feeling that we need to get even or being instantly and easily triggered into outrage whenever we read something on Facebook, that sort of thing.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's really good to kind of get to a place where you can accept those emotions as something good within you. Because, you know, the funny thing is you end up like being ashamed of being, of having the feeling shame.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, I think, you know, I think though all of those emotions, all those feelings as they're coming up, they're just showing you where you're at, who you are. And then, you know, so there's nothing that's good or bad. It's just showing you, hey, take a look at this. What's going on here? Let's go deeper, you know, and find out what's going on. Right. There's nothing good or bad about anything.
That's your emotional guidance system.
Yeah.
And if you can listen to your emotional guidance system rather than respond to your emotional guidance system with inflamed emotions, then you can really navigate the world from a place of power. So a lot of us, unfortunately, because we've been victimized, we've had rejection, abandonment, betrayal, and so forth, we end up getting triggered really easily. So what happens is the trauma of being rejected or the trauma of being made fun of, the disappointments that we often feel, they get kind of stuck in the brainstem as dangerous events. And then when they're triggered, when somebody says something that triggers us, we don't merely respond to the thing that was said to us in the moment. We carry the weight of every single time something similar has happened in the past. And that's why some people like explode with rage or outrage when somebody says something that might actually have been perfectly innocent, because they're not simply responding to what's being said in the moment. They're responding to every single time that they've experienced that. And it can be, you know, mind-boggling for the person who's on the receiving end. But we've kind of drifted away from, those of you who know me, you know that I can go down rabbit holes really easily. So I'll try to bring it back.
That's okay. So we do have a lot of questions in the chat, and we have people with their, hands raised as well. Hold on, where am I? Lots of questions and comments. Caroline was saying, how much clearing do we have to do to finally get cleared? And then she asked you, are you clear, Patrick?
No, first of all, I'm not clear, but I manage things. Now here's the thing. We're all human. I try to bring people into alignment with their higher self, but we're human beings living in a physical human body, and we have a narrow perspective as a result. So you're never going to be perfectly in alignment with your higher self, which lives in higher dimensionality as its natural state. Our natural state is three dimensions. And because our natural state is three dimensions, we navigate the world using our brain, and the brain has certain limitations built into it. So you're never going to be 100% clear. And the belief that kind of underlies the question that I really want to clear for everyone, just let me connect in really quickly with everyone on the call. So anywhere and everywhere you have lived in the energy that no matter how much work you do, you will never achieve your goal. That no matter how much healing energy you receive, you will never be healed. That no matter how many beliefs you clear, there's a bottomless pit of beliefs that you will never get to. Let's clear those beliefs away so you can recognize that it's all part of a sliding scale, and there's a certain point at which you can really deeply empower yourself without feeling like you have to be perfect or clear everything. Okay. And this kind of brings up an image that I've talked about a lot in my calls, and some of you will recognize this. A lot of us kind of have this experience where we're clearing beliefs ad nauseum, and we experience it as kind of peeling away the layers of an onion, and the onion has like thousands upon thousands of layers, and you're constantly peeling and peeling away those outer layers. Now, as you're doing that, you would assume that the onion's going to get tinier and tinier as you peel back those layers. But it doesn't. The onion expands to fill the space left behind by what you've cleared. So it feels like you can do, you know, decades of belief clearing work and never move forward, even though you really have. So if that is a metaphor that clicks with you, I want to clear that away as well.
Yes, please.
Because there's a feeling that I've noticed in a lot of people that as soon as you fix one thing in your life, something else floods in to fill the void. As soon as you get one bill paid, another one emerges. As soon as you heal the injury in your knee, then suddenly you have hip pain or something else. That it's always one thing after another, and you never feel like you're really making progress because every time you fix something, something else breaks. So if you have that experience of like filling the void whenever something comes into alignment, let's clear that away. And one of the reasons that people have that is because for a lot of us, the feeling of peace and equanimity that you would experience if you cleared all of your belief systems away that are limiting you, that feeling of peace and equanimity is unsatisfying in one context. It feels like death. It feels like sleeping or something. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us will create painful experiences to fill the void. And what I've noticed, and I know I'm getting really philosophical here, so just bear with me, is that what most people want isn't the peace and equanimity of having all the pieces fall in place, but most people are like hooked on the feeling of relief they get when the pain goes away. So that feeling of being in pain and then having the pain stop, that transition is really addictive for a lot of us. We love the feeling of release. We love the feeling of the purge. We love the feeling of making the pain go away. And you can't have that feeling unless you invite in more pain in the future. So if you're addicted to relief or addicted to release, you cannot feed that addiction to relief unless you invite in more and more problems to get relief from. So we never achieve that level of peace and equanimity. And that's really common in financial problems. As soon as one bill gets paid, another one pops up.
Yeah, can we clear that? Let's clear that.
We're clearing this on the level of a myth. So a myth... mythologies are like interlocking, interwoven collections of beliefs, such as poverty consciousness. So we're going to clear like thousands of beliefs simultaneously here that all support that notion that, yeah, and everything related to it, that your joy in life comes from making your pain go away. And that if it's not one thing, it's another, it's one thing after another, or anything else like that. And we want to replace that with just an openness to the feeling of peace and equanimity. And for a lot of people, that's scary because it feels like numbness. It feels like it's too quiet. It feels like if you're in a state of peace and equanimity, it's dangerous because clearly the shoe is going to drop. Something bad is going to happen. So anywhere and everywhere, you have the feeling that it's dangerous to have peace in your life because that just means that something is around the corner that's about to explode. Let's clear that away. So you could call this the myth of the calm before the storm if you want. That every calm heralds a storm. And wouldn't it be nice to just enjoy the calm and not have the storm ever emerge or not even anticipate that it will emerge? Okay. Now, just to finish this out, one other dimension of this that's really important is a lot of people equate being in that state of peace and equanimity with letting your guard down. And the belief is that if you let your guard down, that's when tragedy is most likely to strike. So let's clear that away as well. Okay, beautiful. Okay, now everyone take a really deep breath and hold it for a moment. And release when you're ready. Okay, there we go. It feels good. It feels really good. Wow. I'm looking at all the happy faces on the screen right now. So.
Yes, and I'm yawning, so we know that energy shifting here.
Yeah, it's always awesome. An energy shift sign. Now, that specific truth or concept of being addicted to release, that was a belief system that I had locked into myself that I was never, ever, ever aware of until recently it was pointed out to me in an ayahuasca ceremony. Mm. So a lot of times we carry these really profound, deep belief systems that we're completely and utterly blind to until they're pointed out to us.
So awesome. Thank you.
There are others I picked up as well, but I won't go into them.
Yes, we all have a few. So it's all good. Wow. All right. So do you want to take some questions?
Sure. I'm happy going with the flow, doing anything you'd like.
Okay. Still yawning. Okay. So here's a question from Christy. And yes, I'm going to go back to the older ones in a second, but this relates to what we're talking about right now. Do I need to identify each limiting belief around money to have it healed?
Some people would say yes, I do not. There are all sorts of different healing systems out there, and these different healing systems are appropriate for some people but not for others. And there are certain healing systems, I'm sure everyone's aware of theta healing, where you do individually, meticulously go through every single individual belief one by one and clear them all together. Or you find the like stack of cards and you pull out the bottom card and cause the entire card house to fall. So, and for some people really respond to that and they need that approach. They need the meticulous approach. Some people are also in the position that something must be named in order to be cleared. So you can't, some people believe that they cannot clear the limiting belief unless it's been invoked and named and identified, and then you can move on. Now, in Lightbridge, I work differently than that. I bundle together hundreds of beliefs because I'm not really working on clearing the beliefs. I'm working on bringing you into alignment with an energetic pattern where those beliefs don't exist. So the way I function in Lightbridge is I can shift into clearing the individual beliefs one by one if we want to. But what I normally do is I connect with your higher self. Your higher self is essentially you completely and utterly free of all of those limiting beliefs. And I just try to invoke alignment between you and your current persona with the energy of your higher self. Another way of looking at it is I'll take a template or a blueprint from your higher self and impose it on you and your current egoic persona. And when we force that alignment to take place and you shift your energy to more match that of your higher self, those belief systems kind of dissolve of themselves. They resolve. Mm-hmm. And then if any are left behind, then we can go through and individually clean them up one by one or in chunks. So some people respond really, really well to that approach because they find the meticulous one-by-one approach too time-consuming. And other people respond really well to the meticulous approach. And in their mind, they feel that what I do is it's too rapid, it's too sloppy, it's too undefined. So it just depends on what your orientation is, what works for you.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out too that, yeah, we all have beliefs, limiting beliefs. We all have some blocks, but that does not mean that we stop ourselves from creating our life, waiting to clear all those blocks first, and then we're going to move into creating our life and living our life.
Thank you. That is so important. Let's clear away in everyone right now, since you brought that up, the feeling of never being ready. The feeling like if you're opening a business, you have to do more research before you can launch your webpage, or you have to read 5 more books before you can make a decision on something, or before you can figure out which email program to use, you have to read 5 more reviews on the internet. So this feeling of never being ready because you don't have enough information, just clear that away in everyone right now. Okay, and we also want to clear away the feeling that it's important to achieve perfection, if you have that. And I want to replace the quest for perfection with a quest for whatever's ideal for you in the present moment. In fact, I would love it if we would just purge the word perfect from our vocabulary altogether. Okay, and that includes an awareness that you are an energetic being who is constantly changing. So whatever is ideal for you in the present moment is not going to be ideal for you 5 years from now. So I'm going to bring in that flexibility and ability to shift as your situation shifts around you. Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go. Wow.
Awesome. Thank you. So we're going to go to Marlene. If you want to unmute yourself, you raised your hand earlier. Go ahead. Hello.
Yeah. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Marlene.
Everybody's yawning here. It's like, wake up. It's one of those catchy things. my thing lately that came up was giving. Okay, over giving, and then when you can't do it anymore, these people turn on you. Mm-hmm. So I am like, okay, you know, that's fine. You know, I didn't need that energy in my life, but yeah, so I would like to clear that where there was some kind of, you know, belief in my head that I had to help everybody and, you know, bring them out of their financial problems by giving them my resources, you know, and then when I said no more, you know, they turn on me.
Yeah. Well, let's start a little bit deeper because I can see this both in you and on several people. And that is just the basic belief system that people will eventually turn on you. So let's go back for everyone. Let's go back to the very first time in this lifetime or any previous lifetime where you decided that if you just wait long enough, everybody will eventually turn on you. Let's get the truth about that and clear it away. And you in particular have some very specific traumatic experiences in this lifetime where people that you trusted just turned on you in an instant. And then later they would pretend like nothing had ever happened and you never knew whether to trust again. So we're clearing that away for everyone. Okay. And now we're going to shift gears and we're going to clear away something that's also really common in just about everyone on this call. The feeling that it's your obligation to go out of your way to help other people. Now, it's really nice for you to help other people. It's a beautiful thing for you to go out of your way to help other people who are in need. What I want to clear away is the feeling that it's your obligation or your duty to do so. Okay. So anywhere and everywhere you've decided that it's your duty to always put other people first no matter what. And if you see somebody in need, it's your duty to drop everything and help them. Let's clear those beliefs away. Now, it would be nice if you did, but when you're operating from a sense of obligation rather than a sense of genuine, honest desire, there's always an element of resentment built into it. So a lot of times we'll go out of our way to help other people, but deep down inside we resent them for needing us because we feel obligated to help. Let me clear that for everyone. Okay. And now the way you've got them pieced together is really interesting. That it's congealed into a belief system that I need to go out of my way to help other people. And if I let my guard down and don't help them, they're all going to turn on me at some point. So just want to, if anyone else on the call has that as well, let's clear it away. Because you as a service-oriented person, you as somebody who's working in the healing industry, that is a really heavy energy to carry. Because everybody has needs. And if you're driven to help everybody, then you're never going to have enough energy for yourself. Okay. Now, the other thing I want to clear away for everyone on the call, but particularly in you, is that feeling of there's this hurt feeling that you get when somebody does like unsubscribe to your mailing list or does say, you know, why isn't this free or something like that. It stabs a wound that you have. So let's clear that away as well. That feeling that people are actively trying to hurt you by rejecting you. I'm not saying that you overreact when it happens. It's just that that pain gets stimulated whenever it does. Okay, beautiful. So thank you, Marlene, for that.
Thank you. That was wild. Now the resentment that you really don't know about or notice, did we clear that too?
I already did. We all, I did that as part of it. Now we all like have different areas in our body where we hold resentment. We kind of push it down and ignore it. And usually it ends up in the kidneys or it ends up in the joints or somewhere. But yeah, that I purged that as well through that.
Okay, good. No one wants that.
No, thank you, Marlene.
Thank you.
I was like yawning so much during that and just like, oh my goodness, still, mm-hmm. still running. So Maria, I'm going to unmute you because I know that you had a question. You typed it in too to me, but go ahead. If you want to speak.
Are we looking for Maria?
Yeah. You're unmuted, Maria.
Looks like her screen is frozen.
No, that's all right. Or I can just ask the question, I guess, if you're not able to speak right now. So she was asking, what is the What is the block around money and joy? And then please connect me to my higher self, my blueprint. Please align me to my higher self.
Okay, let's start with that first. So I want to clear away the belief system that you are not connected with your higher self. Because the fact of the matter is you are your higher self. You just don't know it because of the goggles and masks that you're wearing. So there are a lot of systems out there and a lot of teachers out there who will tell you or imply to you that your higher self is this some distant spiritual being that you have to work lifetime after lifetime after lifetime to discover, or that God is somewhere out there, that you have to, you know, travel to the seventh plane, or you have to go outside the universe to connect with God. And my belief system is that every single thing divine in the universe exists inside of you. You and God interpenetrate. You are your higher self already. You just don't know it because of all the limiting belief systems about who you really are. And if you could just strip off those goggles, then you would see the divinity that exists inside of you at all times. So if any of you have this belief system that you are distinct and separate from what is divine, let's get the truth about that and clear it away right now. If you have this belief system that your higher self is this lofty, distant goal that you need to crawl towards, and it's going to take lifetime after lifetime to get there, you are your higher self. I teach a course called Take Back Your Power. And the first thing I teach in the course, Take Back Your Power, is that you have never, ever, ever been disconnected from your power. That the course itself is misnamed on purpose, because not only do you bask eternally in your power, you are your power. And everything bad that happens in your life on a regular basis is an expression of just how powerful you are, because you created it through your thoughts and your beliefs and your expectations. So it's a way to harness your power. So let's lock that in. Now, what was the first question?
The block around money and joy.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So, wow. I may need a clarification on that, but I do know from experience that there are a lot of people who believe that money will bring them joy, that if they have money, then they can feel joy. And it's really the reverse. If you can step into joy energy now, then you're going to start attracting into your life all the things that bring you joy. So embracing the energy of joy right now magnetizes all of the things that cause joy for you, including money. So if any of you have a belief system that says that you cannot enjoy happiness, you cannot have success until you have this, that, or the other thing, let's get the truth about it and clear it away and reverse that belief. So we often see that completely backwards. Okay, joy is the gateway to riches. Riches are not the gateway to joy. Okay, beautiful. Okay. Beautiful.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, I can see that there's a lot of blockage in that, and that a lot of people, you know, we just have this built-up body of evidence that tells us that that's just not the case. And I know many, many times in my own life, I've looked at my life and I've said, if I just had $20,000, everything in my life would fall into place, not realizing that the $20,000 is a symptom of whatever it is that caused things to fall out of place in the first place. So it's never the solution. If that money came to me, it would just enhance the it would give me more evidence that it's true in the future.
Right. So. Goodness. So I was looking for a question on the chat from a while ago, and then I couldn't find it, and then I lost it, and blah 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 blah. So Margaret Nadeau is asking, I would like to clear fear of not having enough money to survive in my senior years. I'm on the verge of this era by a few years.
Yeah. Before we get into that, I see, like, I was directed to this question here that says, my question is being aligned, does being aligned mean we are able to attract money? The belief system that underlies that question is a belief that you cannot attract money and that you need alignment in order to attract money. Being in alignment simply means that you're free of all those limiting beliefs that prevent you from having money. But you can still attract money if you're out of alignment. It's just that if you attract money when you're out of alignment, you'll probably spend it quickly. So you might not have the surplus. So don't ever postpone whatever your desire is until you're in perfect alignment before you can have it.
Yeah.
And then, I'm sorry, back to your question that you had pointed out.
From Margaret Nadeau, yeah. I'd like to clear the fear of not having enough money to survive in my senior years. I'm on the verge of this era by a few years.
Yeah. So the first thing I want to clear away, and this is a very, very common thing that people latch on to as they're going into retirement in the later years. There's a belief system and a phrase that people use over and over again, which is, I'm on a fixed income. So whenever you're telling people, I'm on a fixed income, you're telling yourself you're on a fixed income, what you're doing is you're shutting down all of the opportunities to have money flow in from alternative sources. So let's clear away just the propensity to say that in the first place, the belief system that money only comes from one source. And if you are on a fixed income, you're receiving money from the government or from a pension or something, that will only ever be the only money you ever have. So anywhere where you believe that, let's clear it away. Okay. And it's that word fixed that carries a lot of fear and power. That word fixed means there's a ceiling there. There's a limit and it will never, ever change. So we just got to clear that away. Yeah. And then that kind of leads into other fears, such as I may have enough money now and I may be receiving a certain amount of money, but inflation means that I will constantly have less and less. So anything related to this, let's clear it away. Okay. And now let's invoke an openness to having money flow in from all sorts of different sources. And a willingness to notice when opportunities emerge and to take advantage of those opportunities when they do emerge. Okay. Now, beautiful. Let's lock that in with a very deep breath. And release when you're ready. And then, Alara, I just have a question for you. There's a lot of banging in the background here. The painters are painting the house. So they're outside banging on the walls. So can you hear that?
Nope.
Okay,
not
good.
At all. No, not excellent. At all. It's all good. So there was a question from Cindy Liebert, I'm not sure how you say the last name. And she said, I would love to clear what is keeping me stuck from being successful and financially abundant.
That's a huge question. Yeah. Okay. So let me just kind of read in a little bit.
Thank you, Cindy, for just making a purchase. I just thought it'd go through.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Okay, so for everyone who's on the call who feels stuck at the moment, let me see how I can do this. I just want to tap into everyone because there's a lot of people here today. Mm-hmm. Okay, and a lot of people feel stuck in different arenas, and it's not just money where people feel stuck. Okay, so we're going to simply do a Lightbridge activation to help you become unstuck. And one of the reasons why most of us feel stuck is because we were like infused with all of these different energetic set points, these different energetic orientations that feel comfortable to us because they're familiar. And for a lot of you, the energetic orientation of being, let's say, $10,000 in debt, it feels comfortable because it's familiar. Now, outwardly, it doesn't feel comfortable because you have to struggle to deal with the debt. But in your subconscious mind and within your ego, it feels comfortable because it's familiar. Okay, so let's kind of break that open so that you have a deeper willingness on a subconscious level to step into an energy that doesn't feel so familiar. It feels better, but because it's unfamiliar, it's scary to your ego, and therefore you slip back and you stick yourself back in that slot that you're familiar with. Okay. And then if the situation is financial, let's shift that slot for you. Let's shift your set point out of debt and into surplus. So we're going to do often what I refer to as resetting the money thermometer, your money set point. Mm-hmm. We're going to shift it from negative into positive right now. And anything and everything that blocks you from receiving that, any fear that you're not allowed to have it, any belief system that it's dangerous to step into surplus, that if you have surplus, it will corrupt you, or anything else of the sort. Let's just clear it all away as we're shifting that set point. Okay, beautiful. Now, the reason with Cindy that I said that it's a complicated question, it's a huge question, is because for many of us, the thing that keeps us stuck financially is not a financial problem. And I think I'm going to want to talk to Cindy, you know, separately one-on-one, because I can sense within her that whatever the blockage is that keeps her stuck financially, it's not a financial issue. It's something completely different. So Cindy, I'll contact you separately and explore that with you.
Awesome. Thank you. And so Julie had typed in, me too, please. And so that clearing that Patrick just did was for everybody who is has that going on right now. Yeah. Stuck financially, stuck successfully, and so on. Mm-hmm. All right, so we are going to take some more questions, but you know, it is past the top of the hour, so you know, I like to do the special offer at this time. So just talk about that for a few moments, and then we'll get back to your questions, so not to worry. So for those of you who are on the live page, you can just click on special offer. Those of you who are on or who are not, you can go to alara.at/show/Patrick4. And we're just going to open that up. And so this is the Wealth Harmonics, Lightbridge Wealth Harmonics package. There's 14 activations and some bonuses. 14 activations, attunements, sculpting processes, and so on. So Patrick, you want to talk about some of these tracks and bonuses?
Yeah, and I want to go through it very, very quickly because I really did, I love the conversation we're having. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to take too much time for this, but this is Wealth Harmonics. It's designed to energetically bring you into alignment with the flow, the energetic flow of money. And as I mentioned before, the financial issues that you have are very, very rarely exclusively financial. So when you come into alignment financially, you also come into alignment in so many other arenas of your life. And that's why this package, it begins with an alignment through your energetic grid works. So it clears away the blockages and the gunk that is in your body's energy system so that you can have the free flow of energy through your body And that often translates into the free flow of money energy in your life. Next, there's a track on worthiness for wealth, clearing away belief systems about the nature of the universe and how the universe operates. A lot of us believe that the universe is, you know, this dog-eat-dog world where bad things always happen. Next, we clear away victim identity. Next, we step into alignment with abundance for spiritual growth, because a lot of us have really limiting belief systems that tell us that money is inherently corrupting, and therefore you cannot have spiritual growth without also having poverty, or that poverty somehow fuels spiritual growth. That may be true for some people, but it's a limiting belief system. Next, we purge away the most common fears of wealth and beliefs about wealthy people, such as I was talking about earlier, that all wealthy people are inherently corrupt. If you firmly believe that all wealthy people are inherently corrupt, then subconsciously you're never going to allow yourself to have wealth because you don't want to turn into something that you would dislike. So this clears that. Next, we clear away poverty trauma. We clear away vows and oaths of poverty, especially those left over from previous lifetimes in monastic settings. Then there's a track on wealth consciousness in general. Next, the power of happiness, which I alluded to earlier. Giving and gratitude, shifting your financial set point, and finally, money management. So this is this is an enormous package or a ton of tracks in it. And then to round that out, there are a couple of live events that I hosted in the past about money. One is healing your bank account. So it's probably an hour and 15 minutes in length, thereabouts. And it's all about not healing the money energy in you, but healing money energy in your world, in your bank account. And then the next bonus is a clutter clearing event that I did last year, because this is the way energy works. If you clear away all of the junk and the clutter that is taking up space in your life right now, you make space for other stuff to flood in that's even better and more appropriate. This, by the way, is one of the most powerful belief systems that we have that about money. We live in fear of spending money because we believe that we need to grasp and hold on to our money because we doubt that it's going to be replaced. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is money is energy. Energy ebbs and flows. And when you spend money, you actually create space for more money to flood in to take its place. And that's the energy that you want to have in your bank account. You want this constant ebb and flow of money, energy going in and going out. When you achieve that, when you have this energy flowing out and this energy flowing in, and it eventually feels like a heartbeat. And your heartbeat's in the same way. It squeezes money or it squeezes energy out in order to create space to suck more blood in. And wouldn't it be nice to have your bank account pumping like your heart?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. And again, that special offer is available at alara.at/show/Patrick4. And there is a 2 payment plan available as well. So if you'd like it, go ahead and click on it. All right, so we're going to go back to the questions. And I know that people have sent in more questions and so on and so forth. How long is the offer good for? Well, normally until the end of the season, which is the end of May, but, you know, it depends on Patrick and Patrick too. If he says, no, take it down, then we'll take it down. If he says, no, go ahead and leave it up there, then we'll leave it up there. I'm
it's
so flexible.
Evergreen. Yeah, you can leave it up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. So, we're just going to go back up to the you know, people with their hands raised, and I'm going to go back to the chat as well. So not to worry. But SJAK, you want to unmute yourself, SJAK?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much, Alara. This is Sadia from Toronto.
Hi, good, awesome.
Hi, Sadia.
Hi, Patrick. Patrick, I thank you so much for all the clearings. I wanted to ask you that every time I get an amount of money, within a few days, I just end up with nothing. And I'm kind of like, because I saw this pattern with my father as well, I have been clearing it for a long time. I've bought so many wealth packages, but I don't know why. What is it that I'm not getting that this has not yet healed?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something you might be able to look into this.
Yeah.
Or so, let me know what's causing it, because.
Yeah. I want to clear this in a way that's a benefit to everyone on the call and also a benefit to you specifically. So I'm going to actually go beyond what is specifically within you. So a lot of times with you, what I'm not picking up is the situation that a lot of people have where they're stuck in debt. What I'm picking up is that surplus is somehow not allowed for you. And for everyone on the call, anywhere and everywhere you have decided or you've been told that you're simply not allowed to have surplus in your life. Let's get the truth about that as understood by your higher self and clear it now. And then we'll break that down a little bit. Okay.
Yes.
So it might not simply be that you're told that you're not allowed to have it. It could be that you are absolutely forbidden to have surplus in your life.
Mm.
And it could be that you're forbidden by your parents, or you're forbidden by society, or forbidden by somebody from a past life, or you might believe that you're forbidden by God. So if any of you have this feeling that somebody else is going to be angry that you have money or that you have surplus, let's get the truth about that and clear it away.
Yes. Yes.
Now, it could also be, and I think this is where the rubber hits the road with you personally, is a belief that's carried over from past lives that if you have surplus, that will be a distraction from your spiritual growth.
Oh, yeah. And this resonates.
And you may even have a vow of poverty left over from a previous lifetime in a monastic setting.
Yeah. So
you have any vows of poverty left over from previous lifetimes? If you feel that you should take a vow of poverty in this lifetime because that's the best way for you to grow spiritually, if you have any belief systems that tell you that it's wrong for you to have money because the more money you have, the slower your spiritual growth will be because money is nothing but a distraction.
Yes.
And anything else, let's get the truth about all those beliefs and clear them away.
Yes, that resonates very deeply, yeah. Strongly.
Yeah, so it's no wonder when money comes into your life and you suddenly have surplus, you get scared, you get rid of it right away because that means, oh my God, I'm stepping backward spiritually. Now, for some people, stepping backward spiritually means God is mad at me. This is a sin. So if anyone has, anyone on the call has the belief system that money is inherently sinful or money is inherently a gateway to sin, let's get the truth about those beliefs and clear them away as well.
I can relate to that very strongly, like the monk style life pattern.
Okay. And then once again, kind of veering into what is a benefit to everyone on the call, but not necessarily you. Anywhere and everywhere you have a belief system that says that if you have surplus, you will no longer know who you can trust. People will take advantage of you. Scam artists will emerge. People will try to steal it from you. Your friends will no longer like you. your family will resent you or anything else like that. Let's get the truth about all of that and clear it away. And with you particularly, it's not so much that your family will resent you or something like that. It's the belief system that spiritual beings and maybe even God would think less of you if you had money.
Yeah, I can. I can relate to this very strongly right now.
Beautiful. So let's clear that away. Okay, and then finally, for everyone on the call, anywhere and everywhere you've decided that it is outright dangerous to have money, let's get the truth about that and clear it away. And bring in an awareness of how to and what it feels like to have money, to have surplus, to manage your money in a way that's safe for you. There are some people on the call who are carrying mugging trauma or theft trauma. And if you had a really horrible traumatic experience where somebody robbed you at gunpoint or stole from you or something like that, and you're carrying that trauma with you, sometimes it feels like the safest way to protect yourself from it ever happening again is to simply never have money. Let's clear that away.
Yeah.
You know, and there I know one person in particular who simply refuses to own a car because it's like an open invitation to an accident, or, you know, we all carry these things. So
yeah.
Two other things just popped up. I'm sorry for doing this, but I can feel it in the group. One has to do with taxes, and the reason it's in the air is because tax season. Anywhere and everywhere you've decided that you hate paying taxes so much that the best way to manage that is to simply not have enough money for it to matter. Let's get the truth about that and clear it away. So a lot of people hold themselves back from money because they simply can't stomach paying the taxes.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Beautiful. Let's clear the tax trauma away from everyone. Okay. Beautiful. And then finally, the other thing that I'm picking up in the group that's really palpable is a feeling that if you have money, that you'll no longer know who your friends are. And I think I mentioned that before, but it's worth kind of highlighting right now because it is popping up so prevalently in several people, that money makes it hard to know who your true friends are.
Oh my God.
Or that if you have money, you're going to attract fake people who just love you for your money, not for you. So the best way to know who your real friends are is to not have money.
Hear that. Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. So everyone take a really deep breath and hold it for a moment. And then release when you're ready. And I'm glad we did this because this also highlights Cindy's question from earlier about being stuck. Because with you, it's very explicitly clear to me that the money problem is actually a fear of spirit, of not being able to grow spiritually. So the problem doesn't lie with money. It lies in your spiritual growth arena. And I can see that in a slightly different way in Cindy as well. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Huge releases.
Awesome.
Thank you, Alara.
Thank you. I'm just going to mute you and lower your hand. So, and Jennifer had her hand raised for a long time and not anymore, but she wrote a question and I don't know how I feel about this, Jennifer. She said, I have never wanted money for myself, but I've wanted money to help everyone else. I guess that's a good thing, I think. I'm not sure. I'm wondering if that is a fear of something I'm not aware of. I've only started wanting money since I started listening to Alara's show.
Mm-hmm. So the question that I would have about this, and it's a question for everything, is that limiting for you or is that liberating? Mm. If it's limiting, then it's a block. So if you're desire to see other people happy and healthy and prosperous and so forth. If the fact that you don't share that desire for yourself personally limits what you can do in the world and what you want to do and so forth, then it's a block. Mm-hmm. So definitely I would work on it. But if for you, it's liberating to have less than other people, then that's perfectly fine. So yeah.
Awesome. All right. All right. So we're going to go back to some of the, so I just want to let Sarla know that we won't be able to take your call because you don't have a microphone. Okay. Just so you know, we're going to go to Balthazar, iPod 3, Tracy Balthazar. I'm going to unmute you.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, Tracy.
Oh, hi. Hi. Thank you. This has been a great call. So I'm trying to see if I could put this into words. So Patrick, what my question is, so how I am in a situation where my husband is looking for an employment, is basically currently unemployed, trying to do his own thing, but it's not really, money's not coming in. And it's been dragging on for a year and a half.
And,
and is it, even though I guess I'm a physical therapist and I see patients here and there, but I just have always done that. I raised kids, I was at home and that sort of thing. So I'm trying to decide I'm frustrated with him, but is it a money issue for me or is it his own personal issue? You know, we're in the home together.
Yeah, well, and I'm so glad you're asking this because this is a really important thing for everyone to bear in mind, that within relationships, you attract into your life partners who have energies that mirror or complement. Sometimes they mirror and sometimes they complement, or they clash with whatever energy you have. So there's something in you that attracted into your life somebody who has difficulty finding a job or has motivation to find a job. So it could be that the blockage is exclusively 100% in him, and it's frustrating for you because you simply can't understand why he won't find a job. On the other hand, it could be something within you that invited the situation where you're in a relationship with somebody who's not finding work, and therefore everything is on you. What I'm picking up in you is there was a situation at some point where you had to bear the brunt of all the work. And this probably in childhood, did you have like a sibling you had to take care of?
No sibling I had to take care of, but I had, you know, we came from a house where we had a lot of chores and work.
Yeah, well, something happened along the lines, and it could be in a previous life, but probably in this one. In fact, I'm pretty certain it's in this lifetime, where the burden of doing all the work in the family fell to you. And that's kind of carried over as a theme in your life into the present. So whatever that is, let's recognize it as a pattern and begin to clear it away right now. Yeah. Okay. But I'm sensing that there's something you're not telling me as well about this. Is there another side to this?
I know. I'm trying to think. I mean, I just am very frustrated at our financial situation, but I feel resentment because I feel like it's his fault, mm-hmm. you know, in a way. But I still carry responsibility? Oh man, I need to get out there and find a career after 30 years. You know, so I do have that guilt, but it's, at the same time, I'm like, no, I see patients, I've got my thing. I don't know. I'm trying. No. What do you think? What do you feel it is? I don't know what it would be.
Thank you.
Is Patrick still here?
I know. I think he's frozen on my screen.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say, he's not talking and he's not moving. I think he'll be back in a second. Yeah. That was so funny. All right. Delight, I'm muting you because your thing is way too loud. And so Christy also says, I have a spouse partner question as well. Colette, sorry, I accidentally muted myself and saw you caught it. I actually like to talk to Patrick over. Yeah, this, I know, but I can't leave everybody unmuted because then the quality, when it's time for your question, I will unmute you, Colette. All right. Did you raise your hand? Because otherwise I won't find you. Patrick, are you back? Just check with him. Maybe those construction workers, you know, did something.
Right, or the painters he's got.
Oh, painting. Yeah, but he said there was banging. How do I raise my hand? If you're on, I don't know if you're on the phone, how do I raise your hand?
Oh, you tap your name and then it'll give you an option to raise hand.
Oh, there you go. You tap your name and it'll give you an option to raise your hand if you're on the phone.
Yeah, go to participants, she'll find it.
I see Colette. Colette's there. All right, where's Patrick? It's like we need the Jeopardy music. thank you so much. Jeopardy. Yeah, I'm Canadian, so of course I would know Jeopardy, right? Patrick, where are you? That is so weird. I'm so sorry, guys.
My question really took them out.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, you might consider, taking a look at the package and seeing, you know, how that will assist you or help you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I like the face framing brightness. Colette, is your hand raised? No, but I see you on the screen. Your hand is not raised. It's okay. I know that you have your hand raised. I don't know if we're going to get to any more questions anyways, because Patrick may not be here. Right. So I'm just going to mute you for now, Tracy, and then when he comes back, we'll see what happens, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Patrick, we might have to call it a day, guys, and have him come back because I don't know how long he's going to be, you know, without internet or can't get back on. I'm not getting an email. Hello?
Hi. Yeah, my internet went out. Okay, this is the funniest thing because I was like right in the middle of saying that there's some opaque wall preventing me from seeing into Pam, and then boom, the internet went out. So there's a blockage there. There's some sort of fear energy in place that doesn't want to like see the truth of the dynamic for what it really is. Mm-hmm. So I may want to work with her separately on this because there's a deeper dynamic at play than just what's emerging on the surface level. And there's like this fear of taking a close look at the relationship itself, I think. So is right. She still here?
She is still here. I just asked her to mute while you were gone. Tracy? But Tracy, are you still, you want to, I can unmute you. Great. There you go. Hello.
Hi, Tracy. Yeah. Hi. Sorry about that. I'm back.
No, that's okay. Yeah. So you think it's something deeper in the relationship. I mean,
it's something deeper in the relationship that's manifesting as him not living up to his end of your bargain with you. And
yes.
There's also like a fear of taking a close look at that because it might, you know, raise questions you don't want to deal with. So
from my angle, like with him, yes, like, are you, what do I do here?
And it might be a personal question that you might want to answer, one-on-one.
I think it's something
for sure.
That we should
okay.
Deal with off of a recorded event. So
okay, thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Tracy.
Yeah. And that was unusual for me. Like usually, I mean, I've worked with several people and quite often there's somebody who asks a question where it feels like there's an opaque wall in between me and them energetically.
Yeah.
So it happens every now and then, but that usually doesn't mean they don't want it. It doesn't mean that they don't want to connect. It usually means that there's something meaningful there that, that we should dig into. So.
Awesome. Thank you. So yeah, I suggested to Tracy that she check out the package. And then now you're also saying to, you know, maybe you'll chat with her as well. So I'm going to unmute Suzanne, iPhone Von Suzanne. I love the names on the things. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Can. Yeah, that's very special. I'm calling from Germany.
Hi, close
Hi,
to
Suzanne.
Me.
Hi, and I'm a retired person and I never did such chat things and stuff. And I just had the courage to do it. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering what's about savings? I'm retired and I have saved pretty good money up. And I'm now kind of afraid of spending it. I'm wanting to spend it for a new place to live, an apartment or something. And I feel kind of sitting on the brakes and not allowing myself to live, you know. Mm-hmm. How about that?
So a couple of belief systems that I'd want to clear away. This one is related to what we talked about earlier. But if you have like a repository of money or you have savings, it's really tempting to believe that that's the only pot of money that you will ever have, or that it's the only pot that you're allowed to dig into. And therefore, you have to be miserly with the energy that's in that pot. But the energy of being miserly is actually a very restrictive energy because it limits the flow of money energy. So I would say from a position of like being really conscious of what your financial situation is, clear away the fear of dipping into that savings and actually let the money begin to flow, because you'll find possibly that money will flow in to replace it from alternative sources. And you will also find that as you allow the energy to flow and you kind of open yourself up to it, you will also begin to become aware of ways where you can spend the money that costs less, like discounts or bargains, or they'll begin to emerge for you. But if you're like very restrictive and you are miserly about dipping into that fund, then everything mm-hmm. restricts in your life and closes down around it. But here's the thing, you know, money management, it's not about being freewheeling with your money, because wealthy people manage their money. Wealthy people pay really close attention to the money that's coming in and the money that's going out, and they minimize all of the unnecessary expenses. If they don't, they don't stay wealthy for long. So that's right. Why you get a lot of people who like win the lottery, but then they lose it all really quickly because they don't know how to manage their money and they don't mm-hmm. know how to say no to people who want them to spend money. So, you know, I don't know how big your nest egg is, but if it's a significant nest egg, then please, by all means, enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. You know, for me, it's a kind of a security feeling. Mm-hmm. I have that money when I'm older and I need it for help to pay for someone for me and all that. And yeah, it gets kind of miserly, or how you say it. I'm thinking of a mouse who's kind of collecting miserly. I don't know the word, but yeah. Yeah.
Well, the feeling that a lot of people have, and the feeling that a lot of people on this call have, is that if I spend money, it's gone forever. And whatever I purchase with it is not as valuable as the money I'm spending on it. And people believe that, especially for experiential things, like taking a vacation. Taking a vacation or going on holiday can really get the energetic juices flowing once again. But because you're not purchasing something tangible, for a lot of people, it feels like a waste of money, but it's really not. It's
right.
It's a very important thing for everyone to do.
Okay. Thank you very much, Patrick.
Thank you. Thank you, Suzanne.
All the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Oh, all right. I'm just going to lower her hand as well. All right, Colette, where are you? Colette? I saw you.
There she is. I see her. She's muted.
Yeah, go ahead and unmute yourself, Colette. Maybe I can unmute you. There you go.
There we go. Ahead.
You're unmuted. You're unmuted from my end, but you're still muted.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
No, now you're muted again. But sometimes it's the settings of the...
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah, I realized I had my speaker hooked up. Sorry. Okay. Hi, Lara.
Hi.
Hello, Patrick.
Hi.
How you two doing? I'm loving this call. Patrick, this Lightbridge energy, it's awesome. I'm going to buy this package. I had purchased a previous package, prosperity package, and others from you. And it actually does help. I wish it helped all the time for me, but it does help. This Lightbridge, though, is awesome. So my question would be, you had picked up before, and I'm just wondering if there's any more to it, about... It's sort of like poverty consciousness, where in my family I had to hit bottom before.
Yeah, and that's not uncommon at all.
Yeah.
So before you go further, let's clear away a really common belief system that a lot of people have. It's actually a mythology that a lot of us live our lives by. And it's the feeling that things must always get worse before they can begin to get better. And for the way it manifests, it can manifest in very subtle ways. So say, for example, I know that I'm 25 pounds overweight and I want to go on a diet. Well, at 25 pounds overweight, I'm not uncomfortable enough to motivate myself to lose the weight. So in order to get myself to go on a diet, I will gain another 25 pounds until it's intolerable, and then I have the motivation to go on a diet. So that's the way the principle often works out. It's the mythology of the phoenix. It's the phoenix myth. And that belief system is that you must burn something completely to the ground before you can begin to reemerge and regrow out of it. So for everyone on the call who has some version of this, that things get worse before they get better, that you must bottom out before you can heal, that you must burn it to the ground before you can rebuild, or anything else of the sort, let's get the truth about all of that and clear that away as a myth by which you live your life. Okay, beautiful. Now everyone take a really deep breath and hold it for a moment. And then release that when you're ready. Yeah, so thank you. Thank you for that opportunity, because I think that was the heart of that question. So did I actually get to your question before I interrupted?
Well, I was going to have you check in, because I didn't know if that's what's still going on or not, or if maybe something else. I did write in the chat, though, that might be also helpful for everyone, is the about, I was looking for it before, but it was about...
While you're looking for that, let me clear one more thing that I've been picking up within you. It's not overt, and it's actually more in family members of yours. It's a family tradition that is very prevalent in your family. You've escaped it to some degree, and that is the joy of having a dramatic story to tell. So let's clear that away as well.
Yeah, no more.
Yeah, so there's that feeling that if you build something from where you are right now, that's an interesting story. But if you build something from complete and utter desolation, then it's a much more interesting story because you have all the drama of the desolation and then the comeback. So there's something about needing a juicy narrative that is much more satisfying than simply stepping into success.
Right, which is why I didn't even want to ask the question. I just don't even have that desire to tell a story anymore.
Yeah, but you know people in your family who love a juicy story.
My question before, Larry, you saw it, that I would love a good dose of inspired action and clarity for my next steps on bringing in income. I like to ride the fiery, action-oriented, the sun is in Aries right now, and it has that energy of action and new beginnings.
Okay, so the key phrase there was inspired action?
Yeah, clarity on that, but the action behind it and the energy. I was very exhausted. I'm doing much better now, but a lot of people have been saying it too, feeling very exhausted the last month or two. So I would just like to.
Yeah. So instead of inspired action, I think what's really going to help us with everyone on the call is a straightforward infusion of enthusiasm.
Okay.
Enthusiastic energy. So just everyone, just open yourself up. This is called an attunement. It's not an attunement. It's an activation. It's an infusion of the raw energy of enthusiasm for whatever project you have. Now, part of the problem with you and several other people have as well is when you look at the project that you want to complete, you become instantly aware of how big the gap is between where you are now and where you want to end up. Mm-hmm. And you get into the energy right away of just how much work it's going to be over the course of the next 6 months or year for whatever the project is. So you feel the weight of an entire year of work bearing on you on this one day, when really you should only feel the weight of what you need to accomplish in this one day to move forward. So let's clear that for everyone so that you can move forward with enthusiasm rather than moving forward feeling like there's an almost impossible task ahead of you and how on earth are you ever going to get it all done. Okay, beautiful.
Ooh. Wow.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colette. Good to see you.
Yeah. Thank you. Good to see you too.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, wow.
If I can find you. Oh, there you are. Meet you. All right. Awesome. Thank you. All right. How's everybody doing? That was much needed too. I love that. The energy of enthusiasm, especially right now.
Yeah. Laura and I have a history of calls that go longer than expected.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I'm warning you all right now, we're not going to get to all the questions. I just, you know, because, you know, we're not. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not sore per se, but, you know, I'm starting to get like antsy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it looks like Maria Edith has her hand raised.
Yeah, she's got her big hand raised smile. And her hand raised. Go ahead, Maria. I'll unmute you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Doing great, thank you.
Now, I was wondering here, thinking about my life. You know, I have always have abundance in my life. But since I'm married with my husband, that is like 16 years, everything goes backwards and backwards and backwards. And all my savings and all my money. And I say, what is going on with my life? I feel like I'm a moth and I cannot go out. And I love him. He's not a terrible person, but it's like I'm feeling, in jail, in prison. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot go out, and my financial freedom is being more and more backwards.
Okay,
it's
so let's
heavy.
Hit something right on the head, first of all, and it's for everyone on the call, because I noticed that like 95% of the people on the call are women. Mm-hmm. So if there are any belief systems that are held in the group that imply that if you're married, you have to ask permission to live your life, anywhere where you're feeling in the energy that you're simply not free to live life on your terms unless you have somebody else's permission for you to step forward in that. Let's get the truth about that and clear that away. Okay. Beautiful. So the question is how to create an energy where you can step forward into living life on your terms without creating friction within the relationship. So I want to just support you in having solutions to that emerge. Now, there is, as you're speaking, there's like a laugh in your voice, like this feeling of mirth. But really, to me, what that's representing is a subconscious belief that it's kind of silly for you to even ask the question, like, who am I to want more, even though you do want more. So if there are any belief systems that say that it's just silly for you to want more out of life than you have right now, let's clear that away as well. Yeah. Okay. So let me know if that's helpful. Okay. So Maria, how are you feeling? I think she's gone into a trance.
I kind of.
Yeah, she floated off into another universe, but that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Maria Edith.
Thank you very much, Alana.
Welcome. I was saying, I don't have that. Thank God. But I did have that with my family, you know.
And yeah, it's not an uncommon thing, and it's yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Christy has been having her hand raised for a long time and asked a question way back when, which I'm not going to find now. So Christy, you want to?
I'll jump in.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Christy. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, so, Christy's awesome. She's also a life coach. And
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks. A lot of respect between us.
Yeah.
One question I have, Patrick, is kind of on this whole partner hubby thing. Just feeling like it's not safe for me, or it's not allowed for me to make more.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my mind, I say I can, and I feel like I can, but yeah, no.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's clarify that a little bit more. So it's dangerous for you to make more money than your husband?
Yeah.
Or dangerous for you to make more money than you're making now?
Maybe it is both. I was actually thinking more in line with my husband.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Okay. So what's the danger in making more money than your husband? Is it his reaction to that?
Yeah, like almost wanting to protect him from feeling threatened, possibly.
Okay, so let's clear that away, because, you know, the funny thing is, and this might sound, I don't know, crass, I don't know if that's the right word, but really his reaction to you making more money than him is really his business, and it's not your job to protect him from his feelings. Now, it's really nice if you can support him in a loving way, but holding yourself back for fear that somebody else might think less of themselves if you succeed is a ticket to staying stuck forever. So let's clear that away. And let's bring in this possibility that you growing exponentially in your business and earning a ton of money, that will actually liberate both of you. It doesn't need to be emasculating, or it doesn't need to mean that he's lesser. So if there are any belief systems either within you or by extension in him that say that the man is supposed to be the moneymaker, that it's humiliating for a wife to make more money than a man, and or anything else like that, let's just clear that away. Now, part of the fear that I feel in you, and this is getting a little bit deeper into this, is that if you do make more money, then he's going to respond by saying, what's the point in me working at all? So he's going to just stop earning money altogether, and then suddenly you will carry the weight for the entire family. So let's clear that fear away as well. Okay, beautiful. Was that helpful at all?
Very. It okay. is. The only other thing that popped up, and I just realized it when we were on the call, I didn't realize that this was the topic today, but earlier today I just had this, you know, ghost of a thought go through, like, I understand he and I could make a lot more money, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Kind well, of a let's belief. Clear that away. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that, you know, that prima facie belief that it's simply not possible.
Yeah,
is one of the biggest blockages that exists. So for anything in your life that you would like to accomplish or achieve, for everyone on the call, any desire that you have, you think, I would love to have that, but it's simply not possible, or it's not possible for me. Let's get the truth about that and clear it away. Because you are capable of accomplishing way more than you think you can. And there's a lot more possibility in the world than you give the world credit for. Okay. Now, you know from the law of attraction that being in the energy of, I would like to have that, but it's not possible for me, that's actually the energy of never accomplishing it. And that's what gets projected out into the universe. And by the law of attraction, that's what you attract. So the way the law of attraction works is, whatever your point of focus is for your desire, that's what you're projecting to the world. And that's what comes back to you. So if you are in the energy of having a specific dream that you really desire to have, and you think about how joyful and glorious it would be to finally accomplish that dream, then that's what you're magnetizing. But if you're in the energy of how sad it is that it's impossible to ever accomplish that, and you're in like that sarcastic energy of, oh yeah, right, like that's going to happen, you know, who am I to accomplish that, then that's the energy that's getting projected to the universe, and that's what you attract. You attract the more of the feeling of, more of the reality of not having what you desire. Does that make sense?
I don't know if does. I thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm getting a little bit tired here, so my energy is getting porous, so I'm having more trouble finding the words right now, but hopefully that made sense.
It did. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you, Christy.
Yeah. So here, let me clarify that one more time and state it in a way that is that makes sense for everyone. So by the law of attraction, whatever your point of focus in is, whatever energy you're standing in when you think your thoughts and hold your beliefs, that's what gets reflected back to you by the universe. So that's what you attract. So if you're in the energy of stewing and fretting about how horrible it is to be in debt, and you're constantly thinking about the pain of not having all these things that other people have, then that's the energy that you're broadcasting to the universe, and the universe responds through the law of attraction by bringing you more and more opportunities to have lack. So that it's just basic law of attraction 101. So,
yeah. Nope, and that's crystal clear. Thank you. And I think we can all understand that, you know, it is about not just, you know, your thoughts, but your feelings, your emotions, your energy. That is what you're projecting out, and that is what you're receiving back. The universe is answering you by mm-hmm. giving you more of those experiences, because it's, you're saying, that's what I want. That's what I want to experience, because that's what you're focusing on. Okay, good, Jennifer. I don't even remember what the question was. Good. All right. So yeah, as Patrick was, you know, saying, it's like, yeah, I'm starting to like fade as well. But it is what it is. So, wow. So I just want to remind everyone too, please, you know, for those of you who may not get your question answered, have not gotten your question answered, know that when the guests on these shows do the clearings, activations, healings, they apply to everybody, not just the person who's asking the question. So if you're willing to receive and you're willing to tap in to the energy of whatever is being cleared or healed, you will receive it as well. It's not just for the person who asked the question, right? So for some of you, please go back and watch or listen to this again with an open heart and an open mind to receive, you know, what is applicable to you, whether you know what that is or not. Does that make sense? Because sometimes we may think, oh, no, that doesn't apply to me at all. You know, but if you, you know, really open yourself and allow yourself to just be free and be in allowance, you might realize, oh, yeah, you know what? I do have a little bit of that. Yeah, cool. Let's clear that. I just wanted to mention that. And also take a look at the package as well at alara.at/show/Patrick4. And there are 14 tracks there, as well as two bonuses. That is going to clear a lot of stuff, because it's not just clearing one thing. As Patrick does his work, he has hundreds of beliefs or blocks bundled in the energetic process or clearing or whatever it is, it happens to be. Hopefully that makes sense. Patrick, even I'm starting to fade too. So Patrick, is there anything else that you'd like to close off with today?
Yeah, so I did notice a couple of questions coming in that were asking like predictions, mm-hmm. what's going to happen to me in the future, will my family accomplish this, that, or the other thing? And I don't do future readings. I'm not able to see into your future. I can only see the energy in the present moment. So any answer that I ever give about what happens in the future is based on the energy that you have right now in the present moment. So in response to, I can't even remember who it was, you know, will my husband and I pay off our financial debts and mortgage? So the answer is yes, because you would not be on this call if you were not seeking an energetic solution to whatever the issue is. So you're moving in that direction already. But as far as predicting whether or not it's going to happen, I can't see that. I can only see mm-hmm. your energy right now in the present moment. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I work. So yes. Now for everyone on the call, let's just kind of come back together again. I want to do a little integration work so that any and all shifts that you have actually stick, that you don't revert to an old energetic set point as soon as your mind wanders to your memories and you get triggered and so forth. So I want to help clear away. Oh, wow. I want to clear away anything that might cause you to respond negatively on a physical level, like migraine headache or sleep disruption, as the new energy settles. Okay, beautiful. And now allow me to disconnect energetically from you. And as I'm disconnecting, ground yourself in whatever way you like the most. Okay, there we go.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So yes, definitely take advantage of the special offer package. Listen to the recordings, listen to the bonuses, and then you'll automatically be on Patrick's email list. Well, once I give him your information, you'll be on his email list, and then he'll probably, follow up with you with some of his services and one-to-one sessions and so on that he has. Okay.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
All right. So thank you so much, everyone. This has been wonderful. So I can't believe everybody that stayed on the call. Most people stayed on the call for the whole thing, which is amazing. So thank you. That's just that's a testament to you, Patrick, to your work.
Yeah, even when I disappeared for 5 minutes.
You're all here waiting patiently. He'll come back. He has to come back. He'll come back.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for your questions and comments and feedback. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody. Obviously, we'll have Patrick back again. But yeah, this is wonderful. So thank you. And thank you again, Patrick. So I just so love working with you. And it's always such a pleasure talking to you. I wish you were here so we could go out for lunch again and go for dinner.
I'm in talks with Giovanna about coming in October. So
awesome. I'll be here. Yay. Good. Awesome. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. For your birthday again.
For my birthday. Yeah. I would love to come back and do a repeat of what we did a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. That would be so much fun. All right. Good. So I'll be in touch with you about that and something else that I have cooking. So we'll talk soon. But thank you so much, everyone. And we do have another show tomorrow. I was going to say happy Easter, but no, not quite. We still have another show tomorrow. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Until next time, may you be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health, and so much ease and grace. Sending you all much love and blessings always. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.